I'm former Vice President Joe Biden. The Philip D. Blackman Show is going to kick me in the nuts tonight because I suck as a president. Enjoy the show as I try to remember who shit in my pants.
It's Friday! Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is Philip D. Blackman, host of the Philip D. Blackman Show. Join me every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday right here at 5 o'clock p.m. Central Standard Time. But in the meantime, friends, buckle up, get your mind right, and get ready for the fastest hour in radio. Thank you for tuning in. Let's get it started. Listen up. The views and opinions of this radio show and podcast are prepared and provided by Philip D. Blackman in his personal capacity. The opinions expressed in this show are my own, and they do not reflect the view of this radio station, broadcasting platform, or any organization Philip D. Blackman is a member of. The material and information presented in this broadcast is for general information purposes only. Any and all media presented are the property of their respective owners, and its use does not imply endorsement or opposition to any specific organization, product, or service. Let's get started. It's Friday, and it's time, baby.
It's time!
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Oh, man. Happy Friday, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the fastest hour in radio, the Philip D. Blackman Show. I am your host, Philip D. Blackman, and welcome to another one, ladies and gentlemen. The southern borders, once again, it is in the news with the revelation that the President of the United States, man, is going to finally visit. 2 years later, but he's going to visit, all right, and that's awesome, because for 2 years we've been hearing about the border, right? It's not a crisis, it's just something that Republicans are using as a talking point, but now there's a change in tune with Mayorkas and everyone's saying, come out, hey, we got a problem at our border. It's amazing. I told you this would happen before the midterms. I told you, just wait. After the midterms, they're going to finally admit it, because then they'll know the votes are already counted. But it don't really matter so much when you look at the funding, right? You know, we're dedicating to border security in every country in the world except our own, and that blows our mind. And, of course, in our last segment, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be discussing how the sexualization of our children, it's gradually getting worse. It is unbelievable what the story I have to show for you tonight. But friends, as always, our social media platforms are up and running. The Philip D. Blackman Show can be found at About Face Radio's social media page. Also over there at Facebook, YouTube, and LinkedIn at The Philip D. Blackman Show. If you're in Twitter space or Twitch space, then hey, at The PDB Show is how you can find it. I'm giving you all these social media recognition or all these social media handles for the sole purpose that if you want to participate in tonight's show in any way, you can either go on and you can text in those social media platforms, and we'll put your comments on the screen like we see right here. So Rob Williams says, you changed the camera angle. Rob, I'm always trying to change and do something completely different. But hey, guys, thank you all so much. Now, look, if you want to go ahead and write into the chat like this one right here, fine. Or you can call or text the show at any time to the number on my screen at 409-245-9753. Again, for all the listeners across the radio waves, across the nation, around the globe. Thank you so much for joining me for episode number 313, Media Mashup, the Southern Border, the Ominous Spending Bill, and of course, sexualization of children in our country. Guys, these are things that we need to be talking about, and we need to be talking about them sooner than later. Yo, the White House is now claiming, if you've been paying attention, the White House is now claiming, are you ready? That border security is an issue that President Biden has taken, quote, very, very seriously since day one. Day number uno, January the 20th, they said when he stepped in that he's taken it very seriously. And now they're even pointing fingers at the Republican Party for the slow progress that we've been seeing in the tightening of security at America's southern border. So has Joe Biden, who's yet to visit the southern border, has he prioritized the issue of illegal immigration? I mean, that's the claim, isn't it? I mean, the White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre, she actually claimed that Joe Biden is, quote, a president who's been working since day one, she says, on border security to make immigration a priority. That's what he put forth, a comprehensive immigration reform plan. Don't take my word for it. Here she is.
Does anybody around here think that the southern border is secure?
What I can tell you is this is a president has been working since day one to work on border security, to make an immigration a priority. That's why he put forth a comprehensive immigration reform plan legislation. And here's the thing. As the president is coming forward and trying to come up with solutions, the difference here is that you have Republicans, as you know, who are doing political stunts. And, you know, and we've called that out over and over and over again. And the president is willing to work with Congress, Republicans, Democrats, Independents, to work on these issues that matter to the American people.
Okay. Everything she just said, I'm just wondering, you know, and what blows me away, what makes it so interesting for me to hear our press secretary, or any press secretary that matter, just come out and say just outright BS and do it with a straight face, and then doesn't get called out on it immediately. Like, wait a minute, you said since day one. Well, what about all this other stuff that's going on? And there was no follow up to it. But so day one. So I love that. Let's talk about since day one. I'm gonna go ahead and make this graphic just a little bit different. All right, here we are. All right, so on the first day of Joe Biden's presidential term, he signed a day one executive order that halted the border wall's construction. She said he's been very concerned about the border wall since day one. She says a president who's been working since day one to work on border security. Well, let's look here. Let's see what he's actually done, according to this. So border wall construction, on the release, it says, quote, bipartisan majorities in Congress refused in 2019 to fund President Trump's plans for a massive wall along our southern border, even after he shut down the government over the issue. They go on to write that he then wastefully diverted billions of dollars to that construction. So by proclamation, he says, the president-elect Biden will today declare an immediate termination of the national emergency declaration that was used as a pretext to justify some of the funding diversions for the wall. The proclamation directs an immediate pause in wall construction projects to allow close review of the legality of funding and contracting methods used. So, on the first day, they say that is what Joe Biden has done. He's been very worried about border security, yet he stops the wall from being built. So, I mean, that since day one, now I wouldn't have ever looked it up had she not said since day one, but now she's given it. So the question is, who's right, who's wrong? Where is the rub? To say that since day one, this president has worried about our southern border, and then you look at his executive order list right here that come directly off from the White House, it's very counterproductive and counterintuitive to what they're trying to tell you. It's a bad bill of goods. By proclamation, Joe Biden declared an immediate termination, a reversal of stopping all construction projects to the national emergency declaration that the Trump administration used to divert federal funding. All right, so that's okay. I understand that. That's one. I could be wrong here, but this one right here, this one got me, because another day one executive order. You know, Biden, he strengthened the legal protections for the Dreamers. We've heard a lot about them, haven't we? You know, the illegal immigrants who were brought into the United States as minors, right? So President Trump, I hate saying his name, but he was our former president. So President Trump, he tried to terminate the DACA program. If you remember that was the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals. But according to what happened on Executive Order Day 1, because Joe Biden's been worried about border security, Executive Order Day 1 right here, it says, quote, "The president-elect is committed to preserving and fortifying DACA." And that's according to White House fact check announcing that Joe Biden had signed a presidential memorandum. And it directed the director of Homeland Security in consultation with the attorney general to, quote, "take all precautions or take all appropriate actions under the law to achieve that goal." Now, his memorandum, consequently, if you're looking at it, it says here that it also called on Congress to enact a legislation to provide a permanent status and a path to citizenship for immigrants who come to the U.S. as children and ones that, quote, "have lived, worked, and contributed to our country for many years." But none of Joe Biden's executive orders demonstrate anywhere, ladies and gentlemen, that none of his executive orders demonstrate that he provided or he even ramped up any kind of security along our southern border on day one, you know, contrary to what Karine Jean-Pierre is telling us. But consequently, during the 2019 Democratic presidential debate, so let's go just a little bit further. During the presidential primaries, so then, you know, we had candidate Biden who argued for more of an open asylum policy. So let's go back before day one when he was running for president. He said that, quote, "I would, in fact, make sure that there is, that we immediately surge to the border to all those people seeking asylum. They deserve to be heard." He said, that right there is who we are. We're a nation that says if you want to flee and you're fleeing oppression, you should come. That was Joe Biden's statement. And it brings a question, right? You know, and I guess it's the remarkable thing for me that where my struggle is, I'm looking at what's going on. I'm none of this stuff that's being said, none of this stuff that's being done. The internet has an infinite memory, yet these people they continue to say it as if none of us have access to the internet. It is unbelievable that we're going to argue that way since day one. But no, when he actually says, he tells them to surge to the border. Now, granted, he's reversed course by taking, you know, since he's took office. As Border Patrol agents, they continue to be overwhelmed by these illegal border crossings that they tell us that don't exist. I remember watching an ABC News sit down after the crisis had already happened at our border, after we'd already had millions upon millions of people, hundreds of people dying at our southern border. He actually went on ABC and he said, "Don't come." I remember that. He said, "Yeah, you can say quite clearly, don't come over." And so he was talking about George Stephanopoulos. I think it was an early part of the spring of 21. But he goes on to say that, you know, he says, so don't leave your town or your community. He instructs them after the fact. And now he says that he has an intention to visit the border ahead of next week's trip to Mexico City. He says, "That's my intention. We're working out the details." Now, where he's planning on going is El Paso. I said that the announcement was made this morning. I said that if he's going to go anywhere, he's going to go to El Paso, where the border crossings, yeah, it's congested, but that's the safest place to go because of the high law enforcement process, man. The presence. You got the DOT, you got the state police, the state troopers over there. You got El Paso PD, you got Border Patrol, you got ICE, you got the military. We have a hell of a presence, so El Paso would be the safest bet for him to go, but it's also not going to give him an accurate snapshot of what's really going on, because when you're talking the Rio Grande Valley, yes, it is having a problem, but you need to move further to the east. You need to be going, you know, you need to be going further down south to see what these border crossings are, the places that are not really considered pivotal, like the points of entry of El Paso. Start talking to some of these other Border Patrol agents, but that's not what he's going to do. after 2 years of waiting for this long-awaited call, a lot of people, a whole bunch of us, have been asking, why has Joe Biden not gone to the border? And it was just last month that Peter Ducey actually asked him the same thing. Mr. President, why are you not going to the border? This is what he says.
State and not visit the border. Because there's more important thing going on. They're going to invest billions of dollars in a new enterprise.
So what's more important? What's more important? Well, there's more important things going on at our southern border. There's more important things going on than our southern border. How? Someone explained to me how that is a reality. I mean, there's no way that anyone can tell us. They can't try to convince us that they will tell you, well, we do not have an open border, but yet on the news you're seeing just lines of people coming across. We have an open border. We have a border problem. We have an issue. But Joe Biden says, no, it's not that important. We got more important things going on. So what's more important than our border? I can only guess that it's probably going to be sitting down and shooting the shit with Drew Barrymore.
Can tell her anything. She's got a backbone like a ramrod. Oh, she does.
I understand now. Now we see what's more important. You know, you can't go visit the border when you go to Arizona last month because, you know, you're what, 50 miles away and you can't go? And now here you are. You're going to. This is almost the same thing. You know, the conversation, the way they're doing it, it's mind rattling because what we're seeing, ladies and gentlemen, is the deliberate dishonesty here. Well, I intend to go, but are you paying attention to what's going on down there? Right now, there's cartels that are getting in fights. They're getting in gunfights with the Mexican police. It is not a safe place there, so it's going to be very convenient. Oh, wait, it's not safe, so the president can't go to El Paso. We got, what, 1,900 miles of southern border? He can pick any other, you know, any place in that 1,900 miles to go if he so chooses, but I don't think he's going to go. I mean, I truly don't. And if he does, it'll be real quick. I mean, because, again, go figure. Our border czar, Kamala Harris, where did she go? You know, remember when she took that trip down to Mexico City and met with the president? And the whole big hullabaloo was, we want to go and find out the root cause of immigration. Here we are. We're 2 years out. Where is the report, right? If that was the border czar's job is to go down there and find out what is going on with our southern border. The key, what is causing this immigration, the root cause, if that's what we're going to do. Okay, why has no one really followed up? You know, I learned a long time ago, fortune is in the follow-up. Where are the follow-on questions? Hey, Madam Vice President, border czar, what's the situation? What have you found out as far as the root cause? And what are we doing to address the root cause? What are we doing to help with immigration? What are we doing at our southern border? You know, I mean, truly, no issue matters more to the future than the United States than the crisis at our southern border. But you'd hardly know it by watching these politicians in D.C., watching them operate. Again, earlier this month, Biden traveled to Arizona. That's a border state. It has an immigration crisis. People, you know, it's not, the immigration crisis isn't just happening in Texas. Arizona's getting hit really hard as well. But when he was asked if he visit during the border trip, that was the question. You know, making it clear he had very little interest in the problem. Why? Because there's more important things going on.
State and not visit the border. Because there's more important thing going on. They're going to invest billions of dollars in a new enterprise.
You know, that really, I mean, nothing is, as is often the case, Joe Biden's dead wrong in his assessment. And it seems like the entire administration is wrong in their assessment. And what's even more problematic is the people who should be making more of us think about it, what's going on in the Republican side of the House, they're dead wrong too, because I'm still making the argument that neither the Republicans nor the Democrats truly want to do anything about immigration. They just want to complain about it. But the problems, you know, nothing's more critical to our personal or to our present security, our national security as a country, our future sovereignty, than the ongoing crisis at our southern border right now. So for Joe Biden to say there's more important things going on, are you kidding me? I mean, the problems, they escalated immediately. January 21, I showed you the executive orders that he signed in during the 22 fiscal year, which ran, if you don't know the fiscal year, it's October of 21 to September 30 of 22. That is the government's fiscal year. During that fiscal year of 2022, we had 98 suspected terrorists who were apprehended at the Mexico border. 98 suspected terrorists. And we hear about hundreds of thousands of gotaways. These are just 98 that we did catch. How many more made it in that we didn't catch? But we got more important things going on. You know, that's the highest number of alleged terrorists ever arrested at the border in a single year. And it's one hell of a spike from just 3 years ago when zero suspected terrorists were able to cross the border under the previous administration. These are facts. These are things that we can say out loud and we can be honest about it. But these loose immigration policies that is what happened. These loose immigration policies that we have in our country right now. These are the same things that enabled the buildup to September the 11th, 2001. And the crazy thing is, the sad thing is, we many of the recommendations of the September 11th Commission. Do you remember that great big book? It was almost as valuable as the Warren Commission's book with JFK. But even still, the September 11th Commission, they made recommendations to fix the policies for our southern border. And yet, even since 2001, they have been ignored by this Congress. The reason why I'm telling you this is because, again, this is not just a Joe Biden. This is not just a Democrat. This is a Republican. This is a Washington, D.C. swamp issue. And the fact that we're seeing both sides point the finger at each other, and really neither side really has any desire to step up and do the right thing. Joe Biden, he's abandoned his border. And it's been made worse by and even more vulnerable to another attack. It's just a matter of time. But in addition to the national security threat that's posed by the southern border, Joe Biden, he's largely succeeded in dramatically changing our country's makeup. Now, you'll hear people on the far extreme right, they talk about this thing called the Great Reset. Where they're trying to bring in, the conspiracy theory is that they're trying to bring in they're trying to flood our government with as many illegal immigrants as they can, because they believe that the Democratic Party is going to absorb all those illegal immigrants. And the idea, according to this conspiracy theory, is that because all of these voters will now be Democratic voters, you flood the country with Democratic voters, that means that Democrats will never lose power again. That's the idea. That's the conspiracy theory. I don't know if I can subscribe to that or not, but it is interesting. I mean, roughly 5.5 million illegal aliens have crossed into our border since Joe Biden took office, but we don't have a problem at the border. You know, this rapid influx of illegal aliens is more than any nation can realistically handle. I don't care what, look at any other country on our map. No other country besides the United States of America freely brings people in and just grants them citizenship because they want it. There's a lot of other countries that they will not allow you to become a citizen of their country if you're not a naturally born one. Only here in the United States are we just letting everybody come in, because these other countries, they understand. They understand their strength is in their community. It is in a country where people have the same ideals, the same values. But what we do here is we bring in, and look, I'm fine with immigration, but when we have this influx, 5.5 million who've crossed our southern border, and now we're just giving away money. We're giving away unbelievable amounts of money to these illegal immigrants who have not really contributed anything, but yet they're getting a lot. You know, this rapid influx of illegal immigrants, again, we cannot handle it. And of course, that's precisely the point. I mean, while most Americans look at what's happening at the border and they see a humanitarian and a national security crisis, Joe Biden and the douches in D.C., man, they see this influx as a cheap labor for their donors and their political new voters for the party. This administration doesn't view the southern border as American land worth protecting, but as a voter recruitment center for his party. I believe that is a political move. You know, Joe Biden's who cares mentality about the border crisis, it's pervasive across his administration. I mean, even if you look at what happened with Alejandro Mayorkas, he's repeatedly, the Department of Homeland Secretary, he has repeatedly, up until yesterday, he's downplayed this border crisis and he promotes these anti-border ideologues within the DHS. During a recent speech, and I showed this when it happened is a couple weeks ago, Mayorkas, he almost completely ignored the crisis altogether. I mean, despite the recent success and suspected terrorists have had in exploiting this hole, you haven't heard anything. I mean, if anyone had hopes that Joe Biden and Alejandro Mayorkas would approach the border crisis more seriously in the second half of this term, I think those hopes have officially been completely dashed. I mean, Biden has misread the results of the 2020 election or the 2022 midterms as some kind of affirmation of his anti-border policies. He looks at his permission from the electorate to go full speed ahead. Keep doing what you're doing, Joe, because we want all of these immigrants in, unless you go to Martha's Vineyard and ask them. You know, perhaps Alejandro Mayorkas doesn't care that he's on the verge of becoming just the second cabinet official in American history to be impeached. I mean, knowing that he's going to almost surely be acquitted by the Senate, I think that's why he continues to act without malice, because he knows it's not going to happen. But perhaps American voters haven't prioritized the immigration issue enough. I think that's more of a reality. I mean, not realizing the long-term effects these anti-border policies they're going to have on their future, on their children's future, their grandchildren's future. But whatever the case, the border crisis is going to get even worse, especially if the Supreme Court says, hey, Title 42 needs to go. Now, while they've recently halted that anti-border contentious bid to lift that Trump-era's COVID policy, Title 42, what it did, again, if you don't know, you probably heard a lot about it, but it expels illegal immigrants who are trying to cross the borders due to a public health emergency, right? Because we were declared a state of emergency. We were able to use Title 42 to say, hey, we need to try to keep our pandemic down, so we need to turn them away. As many 14,000 illegal immigrants, they could soon be crossing the border every day when Title 42 gets lifted. I mean, our already overwhelmed immigration system, it's on the verge of being just completely shattered. Pay attention to what's going on. The American people, we're going to be the ones who are going to pay the ultimate price with the cultural and the economic upheaval that we're seeing in our country that's going to surely follow when this surge comes through. So contrary to what Joe Biden's going to say, no issue is more important than solving our border crisis. But again, this administration seems to content to just fiddle around when Rome burns, just let it go. But it's amazing for me, after 50 years of politics, 2 years as president, he's going to visit the southern border for the first time ever. He's going to visit El Paso to assess border enforcement operations. He wants to meet with the local officials and community leaders and folks at the border, sending me what they need they don't have. Well, Joe, they've been telling you this whole time what they don't have. But again, El Paso, you think you're going to get the answers you want out of El Paso? The governors in Texas and Arizona are telling you what they need. The Border Patrol agents are telling you what they need, and yet the first thing you do when you see a mounted Border Patrol agent, oh, these are whipping migrants, it's horrible, this is slavery, this is Jim Crow 2.0 on steroids, right? Joe Biden has no interest in taking care of our brave men and women who are on our southern border. He has no interest at all. He's made it very clear. And, you know, since he's became president, Republicans have hammered him over and over and over again about why he hasn't gone to the southern border. And quite frankly, Joe Biden doesn't have an answer. He tries to. He wants to have an answer. But he just doesn't, because he has no interest in it. Joe Biden is our problem. Joe Biden is not doing his job. He is not doing what we need him to do. And I think what's sad about this is us as a country, we have no one willing to hold him accountable. No one. Why? Why is no one holding Joe Biden accountable? Why is no one holding Kamala Harris accountable? Where are our leaders who are supposed to be holding these politicians' feet to the fire? Yes, Republicans are banging their head up against the wall, but he's resisted their calls over and over for him to actually go visit that border. And the answer, crazy enough, from the reason why he has not gone to the border. I don't know how many of you guys have seen this. I don't know how many of you guys have heard Joe Biden actually. First off, I don't know how many of you guys actually heard that Joe Biden calling for the surge as president. As a candidate. I want to show you this right here.
I would, in fact, make sure that we immediately surge to the border. All those people are seeking asylum. They deserve to be heard. That's who we are. We're a nation that says if you want to flee and you're fleeing oppression, you should come.
There it is. He's saying this is not his fault, but there it is. He's saying that, yeah, I want them to come. But when they ask him, they said, hey, Joe, explain your absence of the border. Why have you not gone? And I'm telling you. The reason why he hasn't gone, if you haven't guessed it, I want to give you one time to guess, and the answer is racism. No, it's not racism. I'm kidding. No, I'm not being serious, but for a moment, I mean, could have believed, you know, considering the amount of stupidity that we've seen here in the past 7 years of wokeism, but I digress. But actually, Joe Biden said that he hasn't been to the border because it's Republicans' fault. Seriously. During his speech, Joe Biden has actually blamed Republicans in Congress multiple times for not voting in favor of amnesty. That's what he's saying, that the Republicans are not serious about this, right? So because they don't want to vote for amnesty or any other idea that he's proposed, it's their fault. When he was asked why he's finally visiting El Paso on Sunday after years of Republicans asking him to go, Joe Biden said the Republicans are not serious about border security. And he wants to see what's really going on. You know, he wanted to see what was going to happen to Title 42 before he made a decision. And again, the Supreme Court will decide sometime this year. But he previously stated there was more important things to do. Again, but listen to what he says when they ask him, why didn't you go to the border? Check this out.
Why did you decide that now is finally the right time to visit the southern border? Republicans have been calling on you to do this since the beginning.
Because Republicans haven't been serious about this at all. Come on. They haven't been serious about this at all. I wanted to make sure that I knew what the outcome, at least the near outcome, was on Title 42 before I went down. We don't have that yet, so I had to operate. I don't like Title 42, but it's the law now. I have to operate within it. My prediction is, nothing particularly insightful about this, Title 42 is going to go away before the end of the year in terms of the Supreme Court, my prediction. And then we're going to have to use Title 8, right? Am I right? Yeah, Title 8, 9, and which we can implement what we're doing here plus some other things. But so I wanted to make sure there was a rational way in which we could begin to announce it. But I couldn't wait once the Supreme Court ruled that they're not going to make the final decision on Title 42 for some time, you know, for another, who knows, probably not till June, in that range. Oh, I don't know. That for a fact.
You know, I guess what we just saw here is if I cannot dazzle you with my brilliance, I'm going to baffle you with my bullshit, right? This man gave you, I mean, truly, I don't even think this is a well-rehearsed excuse. I mean, because he named off several things. Well, the Republicans, they're not serious. They've never been serious about border security. Well, I think Governor Abbott has shown you as a Republican, he is very serious. I think Ron DeSantis, I think we've had a lot of Republicans show you how serious this border is. And, you know, I don't understand. And then he says, well, you know, what about Title 42? I'm not real sure what's going to happen in Title 42. I want to see how that happens because I don't like it. And I think it's going to go away. Yeah, it's like a word salad. They just continue to say just a whole bunch of words, hoping that somewhere in the line that you're going to pay attention and you're going to accept whatever excuse they give you. And that right there is that's the problem for a lot of us. All right, so guys, I want to hit some of these comments here in the chat. I have not paid attention to a single one of you guys, and I do apologize. I'm kind of on a roll here, so I see we got Laura Harlow. She says, my internet's been out since yesterday and finally came back just now. That's because they know Daddy's on the air, right? So Rob Williams says, look at that smile. Man, I have an award-winning smile. Rob, don't hate me because I'm beautiful. Tammy Blackman, of course, my wife, my producer, she's always here. Guys, thank you. Hey, I see we got Randy, my man, welcome to this show. Laura Harlow says that Joe Biden's a puppet. He says what he is told to say. Randy agrees. He says, not sure he knows what he's been told, though. And, you know, that's a great point. I mean, just go out there and say this, Joe, or I can just say this, right? And whether he knows what he's saying or not, that could be argued. Interesting point. Tammy says, so he's been letting Americans suffer because he wanted to be sure for over two effing years. Thank you, Mr. President. Three middle fingers, and I'll give you two more right here. So that's a total of five. We like that. Always looks confused as F. Thank you, Randy. So on Thursday, this is why we're doing it yesterday, Joe Biden, he accused Republicans, again, of not being serious about this at all. And he said that after he gets feedback from officials on the border, he's going to make it public to what those officials say they need and they don't have. And he says he's going to, quote, try to convince my Republican colleagues that they should do something, end quote. Well, I would like to know what that is, Joe. I mean, because people have been telling you since you came in, hey, this is what we need to be doing, and you just quite haven't done it yet. So I kind of understand. But remarkably, he's already planned this visit to Mexico City. Now, I don't know if you've heard about this. Monday and Tuesday this next week, he's going to meet with Mexican President Obrador and, of course, Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau. Now, I didn't know this, ladies and gentlemen, and this actually got me. So this is actually called a North American Leaders Summit. When the three of them get together, the Mexican president, the American president, and the Prime Minister of Canada, when they get together, and this North American Leaders Summit is going to focus on climate change and immigration and the environment and the economy and other topics. While the White House has said it would be the sole focus of those things in the aptly named, ladies and gentlemen, this North American Leaders Summit, for some reason they have given this summit the name The Three Amigos.
The Three Amigos!
I'm telling you, that is what they call themselves, The Three Amigos. I'm not making that up. That's not satire. Look it up. As a matter of fact, I think I might... I didn't save the screenshot, but yeah, they call themselves the Three Amigos, and I'm going to assume they probably have the same they have the same intellectual capacity of the Three Amigos that we're talking about here. But you know, it's amazing what these three are going to manage to get done to discuss. They're going to discuss climate change and immigration, the environment, the economy, and other topics. Well, I wonder what other topics. I wonder if the focus is going to be, you know, hey, Mexico has a remarkable southern border. They've got fences. They got security guards. They lock down their southern border, but they leave it wide open. I think there should be some kind of work in between. Maybe, I don't know, maybe the Mexican president and American president can work together to come up with some type of infrastructure to set up our border. If Joe Biden is the great unifier, then there's no reason why maybe he can go down there and convince Mexico to pay for Trump's wall. I don't know. I'm real optimistic, as you can tell, about what the good that's going to come out of this. But they also planned, they announced, part of their border security, part of the border security run that they want to do. They're saying now that they're going to send more migrants back to Mexico, even as the fights in courts end the Title 42. Okay. So the idea why they're going to have this part of this summit is working with the Mexican government. The administration expects to send the estimate is 30,000 unauthorized Cuban, Haitian, Nicaraguan, and Venezuelan migrants to Mexico each month. Mind you, we have about 14,000 immigrants coming over a day. They're going to only send 30,000 total each month. 14,000 a day are coming in. They're sending 30,000 back for 30 days. Imagine. So while it's not really an official expansion of Title 42, given that there's never really been a nationality-based exception, Mexico's acceptance of Cubans and Haitians and Nicaraguans is going to allow for more Title 42 expulsions until the Supreme Court decides what they're going to do. But there's a lot of diplomatic tensions that we're seeing right now that's caused a lot of difficulty between removal of flights into those countries. So Mexico's agreement as of right now, and they're going to finalize it, I guess, this week, is to accept them. And it's going to allow the Mexican government is going to bring those people in for a nice little rub. Now, Joe Biden, he laid out this plan for his administration to try to reduce the number of recorded illegal crossings at the border. Now, you pay attention to these words. He's going to reduce the number of recorded illegal crossings at the U.S.-Mexico border. And if you've been paying attention, they've reached all-time highs over these past 2 years. He's going to work to reduce the number of recorded illegal crossings. Why do I keep beating that up? You know, speaking of the White House, he conceded that his plan that he has in place is not going to solve the issues of the southern border, but it's a step in the right direction. The reason why it's not going to solve the problems at the border, because yes, you're reducing the recorded number of illegal crossings, but you're not reducing the number that's actually coming through. Remove that recorded out. That's what he's doing. The idea is the same thing they did with the Venezuelans, right? They're going to start processing these Haitians, these Nicaraguans, and these Cubans through an app. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. We are defending our southern border with an app that you can download on your phone. And what the app is designed to do for these Haitians and Nicaraguans and Cubans that are coming through is allow them to make an appointment with government officials to self-surrender. They're going to turn themselves in at ports of entry so they can start their asylum claims. I mean, those who are caught illegally, as we understand, crossing the border, they're going to be deported and they're not going to be able to participate in the program. But Joe Biden, he said right here, he says, quote, first, if they're seeking asylum, they can use an app on their cell phone and it's called CBP1. So it's Charlie Bravo Papa and the word O-N-E, one. He says they're going to use an app on their cell phone called CBP1 to schedule an appointment at a port of entry and make their asylum claim there without actually crossing the border unlawfully and have a decision determined by an asylum officer if they qualify. So this is a skeletal version of the controversial Remain in Mexico policy that was called xenophobic and racist and everything else by this administration referring to the last one. But here's why it's so important. This is why they reduce the number of recorded illegal crossings. Because the reason why I keep hitting that, guys, is because this is the same exact program, again, they used for Venezuelans in the fall of last year. Now, of course, it ramped up deportation of illegal crossers, but it also allowed those who self-surrender to be allowed into the country. That's the problem. You're reducing the recorded number of illegal crossings. So if they check in on this app, they're no longer illegal. Come on in. We have you. You're on the system. We're going to give you a court date. Come on in. That's what they're saying. They're not getting rid of the amount of illegal crossings. They're just changing the definition. What else is new? Because the number of Venezuelans who illegally cross the southern border, it dropped. The recorded number, it dropped. Because they were waiting for that Title 42 to be lifted. But Biden's policy is going to reduce the recorded, there's your air quotes for the show, the recorded monthly border crossing numbers because these nationalities are crossing in massive numbers. But migrants that are not eligible for patrol, they're going to have zero incentive to turn themselves in. And now they're going to do the same thing they've always done, and they're just going to evade as gotaways. So they're not going to be a recorded illegal crosser because they got away. The migrants are supposed to meet certain sponsorship criteria, and they pass these background checks. They have not done a single background check on about 90% of these people that come through. An additional vetting. They're having a hard time vetting the ones we have now. And then you're going to say, hey, just put yourself on this app here and we'll process you even faster. You think they're going to turn themselves over? Because no, they're not. They're just going to take their chances because they know if they get caught, they're not going to get deported. It doesn't matter. This measure that's in place, it's not going to change anything. But Joe Biden said in his interview, he says, quote, "My message is this: if you're trying to leave Cuba, Nicaragua, or Haiti, you have, and we have, and we've agreed to begin a journey to America. Do not show up at the border. Stay where you are and apply legally from there. Start today. If you don't apply through the legal process, you will not be eligible for this new parole program." Well, again, it's not a parole program. It is virtual amnesty. So let's check out some of these comments here. We got them coming in. Tammy says that he said 8 or 9 like they were the same number. Oh, yes, when he was talking about Title 8 or Title 9, he wasn't real sure. And that, again, that's that Freudian slip, again, where this is a great, President Biden, he has his head on. He knows what he's talking about. He has no idea. Oh, it's 8 or 9. It's one of them. We don't pay attention to laws, do we? Randy says that in the chat, he says, and they expect to be taken seriously. They do it with a straight face every day. Laura says the emperor's new damn clothes every single day. Chris Bond, this is a straight invasion and we're letting it happen. We are. Randy says, if it looks good on paper, then it's done. Shove some numbers around. And that's exactly what they're doing. Because as of right now, we're seeing that they have these plans to expand the expedited removal process, which, again, is going to result in non-Mexicans getting sent to Mexico even without Title 42. That is what the officials are touting as their great big victory. But the thing is, the expedited removal under Title 8, which is what we should be doing even now, 42 shouldn't be the case, because if we're not under a medical, if we're still not under the pandemic emergency, then we should not be using Title 42. Title 42 is specifically for pandemic emergencies. If we as a country are no longer calling the COVID-19 pandemic an emergency, then Title 42 needs to go away. I love what Title 42 does, but if we're going to look at the legalities of it, this is what Title 42 is meant for: pandemic era stuff. If the pandemic is gone, if they're saying it's no longer a threat, then that means no more masks, no more mandates, no more mandatory shots, and Title 42 should go away all at once. If we're no longer under an emergency, then all of those things should go away together. Not just Title 42, but all of it. Maybe I'm wrong. But when it's expedited under the move of Title 8 of our U.S. code, it's very separate from 42. But it's been part of our standard method of handling these unauthorized migrants for a long time. This is nothing new. It allows our authorities to apply the legal consequence for illegal crossings. We have, it's like with gun control, ladies and gentlemen. We have the laws in place. We don't need more laws. We don't need more. More ideas. We don't need more programs. We need to just enforce what we have. I think truly, if we just enforce the laws we have, we don't need to do anything different. We don't need to do anything special. Title 8 is what allows our authorities to apply the legal consequences for illegal crossing, giving them a 5-year ban of reentry. But it only works if we are allowed to enforce the laws, not a catch and release and not a gotaway. If we do our job and we secure our southern border, then this is not going to be an issue, but it's not. I mean, the one thing that I will say, Joe Biden, he did put out, and I don't really typically agree with Joe too much, but I will give him, whoever his handlers are, even if he thought this himself, someone needs to chest bump themselves, because he says right here, he says, quote, "Our problems at the border didn't arise overnight, and they're not going to be solved overnight. It's a difficult problem. It's clear that immigration is a political issue that extreme Republicans are always going to run on, but now they have a choice. They can keep using immigration to try to score political points, or they can help solve the problems." Bravo. Yeah, I'm glad finally somebody said the quiet part out loud. Finally, somebody said it. But wait a minute. Now, He forgot to say the other quiet part is his responsibility too, as well as his borders are Kamala Harris, as well as his party, who hasn't done anything either. Their answer to border crossings, as we're seeing it right now, is their same answer to drugs. We're going to lower if you pay attention to these liberal cities or these liberal states, especially out in Washington, Portland, where they're making hard drugs, they're making them legal up to certain amounts. And by doing that, what their argument is if we make it legal, then we no longer have a drug problem, right? It's not illegal drug usage because now it's legal. So now, because we're not arresting people for crack and heroin and cocaine and X and fentanyl, you know, now that we're not arresting people, our drug numbers are going to go down, which means our prison population is going to go down. So we're successful. We just make the illegal act legal and we're in business. Bob's your uncle, right? It is not just the Republicans' fault. It is the Democrats' fault. It's both sides are culpable in what's going on in our country. Both sides are responsible for what's happening in our southern border. The reality is, Joe just come off of 2 years of having Democrats control all three branches of our government. They spent the whole time denying that there was even an issue to begin with. So spare me this whole notion that this is the Republicans' fault. Mr. President, Madam Vice President, y'all are just as culpable. Y'all are just as responsible. And I think that's where we're getting at, guys. So stick around with me through this commercial break. And when we come back, I want to go into detail on what I mean when I say the chuckleheads in D.C., they have zero interest in even pretending that there is an issue at our southern border. They have no desire to even act like it. Guys, stick around with me through this break. And when we come back, we'll jump into our next segment, the breakdown.
In the House. I'm Lisa Lacera, Fox News. Lawmakers have adjourned until 10 p.m. tonight to try again to elect the House Speaker, as Republican Kevin McCarthy could have the support he needs.
Kevin McCarthy finally showed he was gaining ground towards securing the votes to become Speaker.
I think you saw we made some very good progress. We'll come back tonight. I believe at that time we'll have the votes to finish this once and for all. It just reminds me of what my father always told me. It's not how you start, it's how you finish. And now we have to finish for the American public.
This is now the fifth longest speaker election in House history. McCarthy still lacks the votes. However, 15 House Republicans who oppose McCarthy are now in his camp.
Fox's Chad Pergram at the White House today. President Biden honors those who protected the Capitol 2 years ago when rioters attempted to halt the certification of the 2020 election, awarding them the Presidential Citizens Medal.
It's not exaggeration to say America owes you.
Today, I am proud to endorse Joe Biden because he will be an extraordinary president.
We cannot win this re-election. We can only re-elect Donald Trump.
With a clear path to lead us out of this crisis.
We have to take care of the cure. That will make the problem worse no matter what.
Joe Biden brings values and integrity to work every day because he never forgets his roots.
Kids used to come up and reach in the pool and rub my leg down.
We need a forward-looking, battle-tested leader who will fight for the people.
More information.
Poor kids are just as bright and just as talented as white kids.
The strategic thinking to bring our nation together.
I don't count drunk driving as a felony.
A leader who is the personification of hope and courage.
All men and women created by the goal. You know the thing.
Values, authenticity, and integrity.
His hands were down my skirt and up my skirt.
Dr. Jeremy Renner's injuries after his accident this week.
Jeremy Renner was completely crushed underneath a snowplow following the accident that occurred on New Year's Day, according to a 911 call log obtained by Fox News Digital. Renner was airlifted to a local hospital, suffering blunt chest trauma and orthopedic injuries. Additionally, the log stated that it's believed Renner's right side of his chest is collapsed and upper torso is crushed. The Washoe County Sheriff, in a press conference, said that after successfully towing his own vehicle, Renner got out of his 14,000-pound snow groomer, but it started to roll. He was run over when he attempted to get back into the machine. Michelle Polino, Fox News.
Southwest Airlines holiday travel disruptions resulting in a financial hit to the company.
Southwest Airlines now expects to lose money in its holiday
quarter. All right,
guys,
so it looks like we have a little bit of technical difficulty. It happens from time to time. That happens on live radio, right? I mean, I do. Well, I guess the news isn't that important, really. It quite frankly sucks. But hey, guys, thank you for sticking around with me. Thank you for helping me get squared away
Thank you for getting me, you know, letting me know that my show is having some technical difficulties. Guys, thank you again for joining me. Episode number 313. This is the Meaty Mashup. We just got to talking about the southern border. And now we're going to be talking about this big one, right? The omnibus spending bill. If you haven't been paying attention, I mean, they told you right across the top that it's $1.7 trillion. But they didn't really tell you much else about it, did they? Oh, it was bipartisan, right? I mean, at the end of 2022, Congress, they normally pass an omnibus spending bill every year. And they're going to tell you that it must be signed into law. Otherwise, the government's going to shut down. People who work in the federal government, they're not going to get paid. Our country's going to fall into chaos. The sky is always going to be falling, regardless of who's in power. Let's be honest. And they want this, this yearly massive spending bill to be signed into law to fund the government through the next fiscal year. And it did. But the problem that we're seeing with this type of language, it's the reality. It's so much more obscure, right? I mean, if you've ever tried to read a budget from the CBO, right, the Congressional Budget Office, I have. Anytime they do a spending bill like this, I always get in there and I try to read it because when I report it, I want to make sure that I'm right. If you ever tried to read a budget bill, you're going to see that it's very wordy, it's very redundant. Which I think is probably why that most of our politicians, most of our legislators that are out there, that they don't read these bills. They don't. That no matter what they'll try to tell you, they don't read these bills. They don't read a fraction of them. Remember the Affordable Care Act. If you want to know what's in it, you have to pass it. Because once it's passed, you can look at it all you want. They'll drop a 4,000-page spending bill and say, hey, we're going to vote on it in 2 days. Who can read 4,000 pages in 2 days? They don't read half the bills. I want you to listen to what John Conyers, he was an old congressman, what he said about bills.
We don't read most of the bills. Do you really know what that would entail if we were to read every bill that we pass?
He tells you right there, we don't read most of the bills. With these big packages, these big bills coming through that are thousands of pages and it's just redundant as all hell, who's got that kind of time? I mean, maybe you're right, Timmy. Maybe they are using cliff notes somewhere. But really what happened in this spending bill that just happened, there was a lot of people who had no idea what was in the bill because it was worked on. Most of this spending bill that happened, it was worked on by Democratic Party members. Very little input from the Republican Party. It wasn't until that they started saying, hey, we're not going to pass this until I get this put in, because that's what it boils down to. There wasn't really a whole lot of this bill that got taken away. It was a lot more got put in when it got kicked back the first time. The problem with John Conyers' statement, right, is pure honesty. A lot of Americans don't, they know it's happening. They know these politicians aren't reading the books, but it's tolerated, that behavior. These spending bills are usually packed with these pet projects. If you've ever seen it, I'm going to show you some of them. What's in this spending package that has me so upset? I want to highlight just a few examples of pure waste and BS that's required, they say, to keep the country running while showing what it's notably not in the bill. In this segment here, The Breakdown. All right, kids, episode number 313, Media Mashup. We're talking in this segment, The Breakdown. We're going to tell you what's in this omnibus spending bill and why it's problematic. Not so much as what's in it, but what's not in it. It'll all wrap up by the time I get to the end. But guys, 409-245-9753 is the number. Man, we're live to all of our affiliates all across the world right now. Thank you all so much for listening. If you're on Raw Talk Online, if you're on IPM Nation, if you're on About Face Radio, if you're on AOW Radio Network, if you're on Spotify, Apple, iTunes, wherever you're listening to my show, thank you for taking the time to hang out with me out of this Friday afternoon. You know, there's gifts in every bill for everybody, including helping out our Mexican drug cartels by explicitly forbidding a single dime out of this 1.7 to secure our southern border. And yet we're sending millions and millions in dollars to other countries to help them secure theirs. Are you kidding me? Well, you know, that's not really surprising, because why would they want to put money in to secure our southern border when this administration has the whole time told them, hey, don't worry about it. There is no crisis at the border. We're good. Don't stress it at all. So why would these politicians start allocating money for our southern border when nobody believes that we have a southern border issue if you're on the liberal left? I mean, that's just the surface. I mean, this what they call it is full of pork, right? This pork laden, you know, is through that with both parties are feeding it. I follow Representative Dan Bishop. He's a Republican out of North Carolina, and he actually on his Twitter feed, man, he dubbed it some of the most egregious provisions in the bill. So here's some of the things that the congressman was able to point out for us that, you know, so like he actually suspected something fishy, which I think is hysterical as hell, the play of words. But Representative Bishop, he noted that there would be the word salmon, right? The fish. It appeared 48 times in an omnibus spending bill to keep the government running. So he wanted to find out, well, what does fish have to do with this, with keeping the government running? Well, apparently this bill includes about $65 million commitment to the Pacific Coastal Salmon Recovery. He found about $3 million for bee-friendly highways. That's right. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. We are going to, I'm assuming, $3 million for bee-friendly highways. How do you do that? How do you make highways bee-friendly? You know, do you have like bee crossings somewhere? I'm not sure. But then we saw another one, a conservative heritage fund. It released a list of its own focus on the woke priorities of the omnibus, right? Including there were several LGBTQ projects and anti-racism initiatives. What do any of those things have to do with keeping our government running for the next fiscal year? Somebody please tell me. I would love to know. But among the list of these earmarks that we saw, the group said that there were $1.2 million are dedicated to the LGBTQIA+ pride centers. There's $477,000 for an equity institute that's going to be stood up in Rhode Island to indoctrinate teachers with anti-racism viral labs. There's going to be $3 million for the American LGBTQ+ Museum. Ladies and gentlemen, what does this have to do with national security? What does this have to do with keeping our government running? This is what we just paid for. This is part of that $1.7 trillion bill that we just passed. There's about $45 billion right now, $45 billion more in aid to Ukraine and our NATO allies. Why? What? Someone tell me, please. I'm begging to know, why are we supporting Ukraine the way we are? This creation, part of this $45 billion is the creation of a Ukrainian independence park. There's another section that would designate federal buildings in San Francisco as Speaker Nancy Pelosi federal building. Yeah, that's part of that $45 billion. To name a building, the Speaker Nancy Pelosi federal building in San Francisco, there's got to be a chunk of that $45 billion. There's also $3.6 million. There's a Transportation Department allotment for the Michelle Obama Trail in Oregon. $3.6 million for a Michelle Obama Trail in Georgia because it's necessary to keep this government running. Outgoing Senator Jim Inhofe, a Republican out of Oklahoma, he got $511 million worth of earmarks in the bill. Senator Richard Shelby, a Republican out of Alabama, he, the vice chairman of the Committee on Appropriations, who had a major role in drafting this legislation, he managed to write himself in about $656 million. But, you know, Shelby also gets an FBI training center that's going to be renamed after him as well. So, I mean, yeah, $500 million to rename a building. You know, this is complete vomit inducing, for both parties are to blame. You know, they know that most or all of these items could never stand alone for scrutiny on their own, so they get sucked into this massive spending package where everyone gets a turn at the wheel. Everyone gets a turn. I mean, in the end, it's the American people, the American taxpayer. We're the ones who are losing. While Congress continues to pour more and more money into the bottomless pit of this wasteful garbage, like $1.2 million for Pride Centers, or some money to rename an FBI training center after one of the bill's Republican sponsors. How is that not a conflict? But in the end, I mean, no one really should be shocked by any of this, by this behavior, since it's what we've all come to expect. We know it's going to be full of crap every time. We expect it. You know, the process, it wouldn't have changed regardless of whether the red wave had actually materialized in November, because this type of lamed up legislation, man, it's a rite of passage for an outgoing Congress. Hey, let us pass as much shit as we can. That way, when the bill comes in for you to pay it, it's on your head. But in the end, $1.7 million in spending, for which probably a few hundred billion was actually necessary for terms of defense and ongoing government operations. Maybe a couple hundred billion. That is how we keep the government running. But no, $1.7 trillion for all this other stuff. You know, the rest of it's rewards for these various groups and the funding to rename buildings and handouts to favored organizations and constituents. You know, Laura brings it up when I showed her the video that these congressmen don't read their bills. She says they shouldn't be signing the damn things. A heated sidewalk in Little Town. Yeah, that's part of the bill there. That needs so much more than that. Tammy says, "Oh, this makes me mad." Well, if you're a voter and you are, your taxpayer dollars are going to pay for this stuff. Laura says, "What about those dead young black men in Chicago? A trail in Georgia? Yeah, I mean, well, you know, it would make more sense to have the Michelle Obama trail in Illinois, right? Because that's where former President Obama, that he was a senator out of that state. So it seems like it would make more sense for it to be there. And maybe the Stacey Abrams trail in Georgia. I don't know. I'm just guessing. Laura says, "Oh, it's such BS." Absolutely. Tammy says, "Fired. They all need to be freaking fired, every last one of them." Laura says in the chat that some senator wants to monitor why Fed employees aren't using up their annual leave while teleworking. There's a study for that. Hey, I remember just a couple of years ago, the Department of Defense, because our government is notoriously famous for spending millions and millions of dollars on a study, the Department of Defense, I remember the Chairman of Joint Chiefs of Staff, I think it was Admiral Keating, he actually called for a study to see if the studies were worthwhile. So you're going to do a study on a study to see if studies are any good. So this doesn't surprise me at all. Laura says that, "I'm so tired of getting bashed over the head for working hard like I should." Amen. Now, while Biden is brought in and you know, looking at this, while he's brought in more than, I don't know, you know, we got this massive border, 14,000 a day coming in. Biden has now brought in 100,000 Ukrainians to the U.S. since old Vladdy's doing his thing over there. But when he's not interfering in our elections and electing presidents, he's starting wars. That's old Vlad right there. I mean, he is. but the spending bill, it throws $2.4 billion in taxpayer money to these refuge contractors. And their whole purpose in life is to resettle more Ukrainians in American communities. Hundreds of millions of dollars to provide humanitarian assistance to those arrivals. This bill was 4,100 pages. $45 billion in taxpayer funds for the Russia-Ukraine war. You know, Tammy and I were talking about it. You know, they say that we're not a country at war. Yes, we are. No, we're not jeopardizing American lives yet. It's just a matter of time. We are, as a country, we're financing this war in Russia. We are at war with Russia. Proxy wars, we're letting somebody else do the dirty work, but we're funding it. At what point are we going to have that's going to hit us in the teeth that, hey, the piper's coming. We're going to have to pay that piper at some point. We're going to have to answer for this. You know, I don't know if they've got the House speakership set up or not, but I know Mitch McConnell, you know, he's the Senate minority leader, the leading Republican in the Senate right now, is saying that the Republicans' number one priority is Ukraine fighting Russia. That is the Republican leader in the Senate says that their number one priority is Ukraine fighting Russia. providing assistance, he says, quote, for Ukrainians to defeat the Russians is the number one priority of the United States right now, according to most Republicans. Let's get them on record. But he goes on to say that, quote, that's sort of how we see the challenges confronting the country at the moment. Again, ladies and gentlemen, someone please, 409-245-9753, text, call, or put it in the chat. Why does Ukraine, why is that a challenge confronting this country when we have a sieve, we have just an open mess going on at our southern border? The number one, and remember I told you at the start that the Republicans or Democrats are not interested in the border. If they were, Mitch McConnell probably would have said something about our border, but no, he said something about Ukraine. You know, this funding measure and the statement from McConnell, it comes as Americans, we're continuing, we're suffering. We have record inflation costs. We got, you know, sky-high gas prices. Yes, they're coming back down, but they're still higher than they were. We got a surge of illegal immigrants into these communities now, especially down here in Texas. Soaring health insurance costs, gas, electricity, fentanyl crisis. That's killing 100,000 Americans a year. And Ukraine is the number one priority for Republicans in the Senate. You know, the majority of Americans right now in this country who's living paycheck to paycheck, it's jumped about 63%. And the threat, the concern, number one on Republicans' mind in the Senate is Ukraine. You know, our household debt as a country, you know, it's increasing at its fastest pace in 15 years. I don't know about you guys, you know, when you're looking at your paycheck, you know, there's a lot of people right now that are experiencing just too much month at the end of their money. And it's getting worse for them. We have Americans right now that the American middle class, which is what they're saying is about 60% of our U.S. households, they've seen a share of their national wealth depleted about 26%. They've lost 26% of their income, of their wealth. The top 1% that you always hear the Democrats talking against, that you hear the Republicans talking against. The top 1% of our country right now holds more national wealth than the entire middle class all put together. But what's notably missing from this spending bill, I told you I'd bring it back. It connects to the original point that I opened my show with. With all that money that's going to secure other nations' borders, there's absolutely $0 that's allocated to securing our own. $1.7 trillion. And not a single dollar goes to our southern border. Now, it goes to the southern border, but not in enforcement. The $1.7 trillion bill that uses hundreds of millions of dollars of American taxpayer money to fund the border security initiative overseas at its own border is projected to set illegal immigration records big time this year. 2020 we had record inflation or record immigration. 21 got worse. 22 said, hold my beer. 23 is going to be the year that I think is going to be interesting. You know, this spending bill includes $410 million for enhanced border security in places like Jordan and Lebanon, Egypt, Tanzania, Oman. $410 million to them, but none for us. At least $150 million of the funding is to be used to help Jordan secure their borders. No dollars are going to us. No dollars are going to our borders. The hundreds of millions of dollars of border security thousands of miles away from the U.S., it comes after Republicans and Democrats, this bipartisan bill that negotiated a similar plan in March that saw about $370 million go to border security initiatives in the Middle East, North Africa. In June of last year, Congress authorized nearly $1 billion in border security initiatives for the Middle East and North African countries. But Joe Biden, his administration, they've projected to oversee 2.6 million border crossers and illegal aliens arriving since he took office. 2.3 million encounters. I mean, if the projections pan out the way they're going, we're going to see 6.9 million border crossers and illegal aliens that will have been apprehended at the border since Joe Biden took office in 2021 to the end of this year. The expectation is we'll have 6.9 in 3 years. This is a foreign population that's just about 2 million short of what you see in New York City's resident population. This is a large city. This is how many people are coming in. But rather than do anything to control our borders, this omnibus is focused on entirely of the processing of illegal aliens as quickly as possible. And a lot of money is going to transport them to already overwhelmed communities all across our United States. It's okay when the federal government does it, but when a state governor does it, it's racist, it's homophobic, it's Islamophobic, it's whatever phobic they want to put on there. But when the federal government does it, it's business as usual. You know, this spending bill, it turns the Customs and Border Patrol into really just a federally administered travel agency. You know, this omnibus, the spending bill, it does address immigration. Let's be honest. It does address it, but it doesn't afford a single dollar to the actual security. So what is it? What do I mean? So $1.5 billion for border management, but it doesn't allow the CBP to use those funds to hire any permanent border security officers to deport any illegal aliens. It only allows for transportation to American communities, not away from American communities. It doesn't expand the border. It doesn't expand border security technologies or capabilities unless it's for improving the processing of illegal aliens. This is not border management. It's $1.5 billion to essentially convert the CBP into a federal travel agency for illegal immigrants. This bill also provides $800 million from CBP to FEMA to pay for sheltering and other services through grant programs. For non-GOs or NGOs, non-governmental agencies and charities. We want to give $800 million away to these other agencies to make it better for these illegal immigrants, to give them money to take these immigrants to different places. U.S. broad appropriation, it could be viewed as enticing other organizations to illegally enter our country. And quite frankly, there's no prohibition against funds being distributed to organizations in the interior, meaning that illegal aliens could be sheltered throughout the country under this section. $800 million, we're going to take care of them. This bill absolutely prohibits the use of funds for the border wall construction in certain areas. We're already seeing it in Arizona where they're having to take down the Connex boxes that they was having to create their own border wall because the federal government wouldn't do it themselves. So they created their own, and now they've had to take it down. This bill allows the Office of Refugee Resettlement to accept private donations from their donors, politically motivated organizations. This bill provides for both the Customs and Border Patrol and ICE to transport these unaccompanied alien children, demonstrating that domestic transportation to the United States is a large part of their operation. All the money that's going for our border isn't going to secure our border. It's going to transport these illegals. It's to accept them and welcome them in and push them out to different cities. $29 million for the Justice Department's Legal Orientation Program. And what it does is it empowers the non-government agencies, the non-government organizations, to coach these large groups of detained aliens on immigration and court proceedings. We're giving them free legal now. I mean, the effectiveness of this program is dubious. It doesn't actually provide a legal counsel to their aliens. The aliens who use this program, they're less likely to receive any attorney, and their matters are going to take a lot longer. That money, that $29 million, is going to be absorbed in something else real easy. You know, the southern border, it can't be closed through focused, or it can only be closed, I say, through a focused federal action. That's the end of the story. Our border is not going to be closed through any legislation. Everything the Democrats do to enable and promote illegal immigration is already a violation of federal law and the Constitution. These new laws that they're trying to are only going to be treated with the same scoffful attitude that we already have. We can enforce the laws we have and still get the job done. You know, in my final analysis of this bill, you know, as I've argued here repeatedly, Democratic Party has sponsored illegal immigration because it benefits their party. It allows them to win elections. It's seen from a profit loss perspective, and it allows the southern border to be secured. It does nothing but hurt them. I mean, there's no benefit for them, but it's going to cause them to lose everything that's most dear to them. You know, the support of the public sector unions, the congressional seats, the presidential elections. Illegal immigration, man, that's the latest strategy that we're seeing right now in D.C. that these Democrats and these Republicans have employed to maintain and grow their political domination over American politics. And it's also the most effective. And that right there is the breakdown. Ladies and gentlemen, as we wrap up our show, we've come to the point in our show where we take a special moment and we pause and reflect and we honor and we remember. We have brave men and women across our law enforcement spectrum who are they're out on the streets as we speak. They're protecting our city streets while we're actively being protested against, while they're being assaulted because they've chosen a ministry. They've chosen a job. They've chosen a calling. They've answered their calling. They all have the desire to serve something bigger than them. Last year, 2022, we lost 228 members of the law enforcement community. This year, so far, we're still at one. But we have 228 families that right now, they're going through their very first year without their loved one at the dinner table because their hero answered the call from their city, from their state, from their fellow citizens. They ask them for someone to step up in the role of protector of peace, and these people did. We must never forget their sacrifice away from their family, away from their friends, away from their personal lives, and their risk of losing their lives for perfect strangers. We're going to continue to honor all of our fallen men and women in the law enforcement community every single show until people start highlighting these law enforcement officers' lives and their sacrifice, just like they do the quote-unquote misunderstood criminal. This week, friends, we're going to take a moment. We're going to honor Riverside County, California Sheriff's Deputy Isaiah Cordero in this segment, End of Watch.
The Philip D. Blackman Show proudly salutes Deputy Isaiah Cordero, 32, of the Riverside County Sheriff's Department in California, who was shot and killed on December 29, 2022, while making a traffic stop. Deputy Cordero served his department for 8 years and was assigned to the motor unit. Sheriff Chad Bianco said in a statement, "Nothing is more heartbreaking than losing a son in a senseless manner when they are living their life for others, serving their community." Deputy Cordero learned from his mother the value of serving and helping others. His goal from the day he was hired was to become a motor deputy. He was a jokester around the station, and all of our deputies considered him their little brother. Deputy Cordero is survived by his parents and brother. On behalf of the Philip D. Blackman Show and a grateful nation, thank you for your service, Deputy Cordero. Deputy Sheriff Isaiah Cordero, End of Watch, December 29th, 2022. Rest in peace, Deputy.
The man who shot Deputy Cordero, he had an extensive criminal background. This guy had stabbed a California Highway Patrol canine in 2021. At the time of Deputy Cordero's murder, the man who killed him was out on bail. Even after being arrested for failing to appear while waiting for that mandatory 25 to life sentence for the incident in which he stabbed the canine, he was out on bail. And a traffic stop, he shot and killed Deputy Cordero. This is a crime that should have been prevented. This is a crime that could have been prevented. But now we're taking more stock and putting more interest in the ability or in the care, I should say, of these criminals. Let's back our blue.
I can't believe it. It's my first blind date.
Oh, I do it all the time.
Really? Woo! Woo! You guys meet? Greg, Janice?
We sure did.
That was stupid.
Great.
This is Smart, a beeper service for just $1.99 a month. From who else? Smart Beep. Call 1-800-BEEP-199 for other smart stuff, like directions.
We've got chemistry here. You feel it?
I felt it.
All right, Janice.
Ship my pants. Right here? Ship my pants, you're kidding.
You can ship your pants right here.
You hear that? I can ship my pants for free.
Wow. I just may ship my pants.
Yeah, ship your pants. Billy, you can ship your pants, too.
I can't wait to ship my pants, Dad.
I just shipped my pants, and it's very convenient.
Very convenient.
I just shipped my drawers.
I just shipped my nightie.
I just shipped my bed.
If you can't find what you're looking for in store, we'll find it at Kmart.com right now and ship it to you for free.
Budweiser presents Real Men of Genius.
Real men of genius.
Today, we salute you, Mr. Pro Wrestling Wardrobe Designer.
Mr. Pro Wrestling Wardrobe Designer.
While lesser designers would shy away from putting 300-pound men in spandex, you embrace it.
Yes, you do.
Pushing fashion to its limits, literally, you pair tights with a cape, a leotard with a mask, leather boots with a thong.
Oh, looking good.
All understated ways of saying, I'm going to rip your head off and look fabulous doing it. So this bud's for you, Mr. Pro Wrestling Wardrobe Guy. Because without you, a man crushing another man's head in his arms would just look silly.
Mr. Pro Wrestling Wardrobe Designer.
Why don't you get us something to cool this fire down?
I got just the thing. I got too low for that fire.
With a great taste that won't fill you up and never let you down, make it a Bud Light.
That's not that bad.
All right, guys, so stick around for our final segment. One final thing. All right, guys, I don't know if you heard about this story. It's a special one. All right, so, hey, check this out. So the footwear company Crocs is, I don't know how many of you guys out there like wearing Crocs, but if you do like wearing Crocs, maybe this story might change it, maybe not. But it is interesting if you're a supporter. They're actually now sparking outrage for co-sponsoring an upcoming RuPaul Drag Con event over in the U.K., and it's being, and normally it wouldn't be a big deal, but I think the problem that a lot of people are pulling away from is being advertised as open to anyone under the age of 18. So the show, which is also sponsored by BBC Three, it's going to take place in London, started today, and it'll go through January the 6th through January the 8th. And according to the industry, they actually put out they put out their presser, and they said that, let me see if I can get this pulled away from you. What they said was, quote, RuPaul's Drag Con celebrates the power of authentic self-expression, an idea that lives at the heart of our brand, and we stand with those who bravely inspire others to embrace what it means to truly come as you are. We believe that personal expression is an inherent choice, and recognizing what makes each of us unique is part of our commitment to the inclusivity everywhere. So this kids' fashion show that they're getting set up right now is going to be part of the program, according to the advertisements for the event, as you see on the screen. Now, the advertisement for the event explains that there is no pre-registration required, before adding that all kids under the age of 18 are welcome. This ad, if you can't see it, if you're listening to it right now, it also notes that the event is sponsored by Crocs. Meanwhile, the caption states that, hit them with your catwalk, kids. All right, now look, several ads from Crocs, they feature drag queens and the celebration of Pride Month. Look, right on. But it's when you start bringing in these kids, you know, these disturbing efforts that we're starting to see in our country that are starting to sexualize children. Now they're grabbing headlines, and you know, and they're merely the latest, you know, but the most brazen attempts to slowly but surely normalize pedophilia in this country. What we're seeing, guys, is we're seeing progressives. They're attempting to gain ground through a tedious, very incremental advances, tiny steps that over time they turn into miles. A journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step, and they're taking one step at a time, and we're not paying attention, just as they have with other social issues. But the march is often so slow and steady that the time that we notice that it's actually starting to happen, it's actually become too late for us. But those who've been paying attention, if you've been watching this show, we've been telling you about it. These campaigns, they're anything but shocking. Like most debunked notions rearing their ugly heads these days, these ideas that children can somehow govern their own bodies, it dates back, oh, I don't know, to about the radicalism of the 60s, early 70s. You know, when, I mean, it's no coincidence that the late gay activist Carl Whitman, he asserted in his 1970 A Gay Manifesto that, quote, kids can take care of themselves and their sexual beings way earlier than we'd like to admit. End quote. You know, this very idea of radicalism, it's infested every nook and cranny in American scientific institutions across the globe, not just America. But the American Psychological Association, nearly a decade ago, they had to come out and correct the claims that it had dubbed pedophilia a sexual orientation. It's an absurd categorization seeking to equate child predators with nearly 90% of Americans who identify as heterosexual. But more recently, we're seeing in this country, we're seeing across the globe that it's labeled it as a mental disorder now. They're saying pedophilia is a mental disorder. Now, which, while perhaps that is more accurate, but it seems to unjustly link it to more common and less dangerous maladies like anxiety and depression. They're saying anxiety, depression, sexual, you know, minor attracted child, it's all that, you know, it's a mental condition. We can't help it like you can't help it either. All right, so Billy Painter says, hey, Philip, I'm sharing my screen with a new friend in law enforcement, why they might be interested in about face. Well, hey, Billy, thank you so much. And to your friend, welcome to the show. Guys, what we're talking about right now is the sexualizing that we're seeing of children in this country. I mean, it's a slow march. Each step, it's followed with three forward. Each step back is three forward. And the idea that pedophilia as a sexual orientation was back in vogue of 2018. If you paid attention, you know, these same magazines that are really writing the social norms, Vogue even put it out there. And it's these back and forths that ultimately inch their way in the left's favor over time. They just beating you over the head of it. The latest efforts to rebrand predators, these child pedophiles, these predators, they're calling them minor attracted persons or MAPs. They want to make it seem less aggressive. They want to make it seem like it's less harmful, like it's less dangerous. You know, this slow march over the last few years, it's numbed so many of us to the horrors that's unfolding before our very eyes. And by extension, it's made our current nightmare very possible. You know, there's more need to fight back, or the phenomenon is going to continue unabated. And it's going to damn our future generations. Unspeakable horrors is in their future. And it's ours for allowing it to happen. We are failing these children. We owe our kids better than what they're getting. And that's going to wrap it up, guys. Bill, if you want to call in, go ahead, 409-245-9753. If you want to weigh in on it, right on. Otherwise, I'm going to go ahead and wrap it up. It's been, it's been a 90-minute show. Guys, thank you so much for taking a moment to tune in to a show that seeks not only to provide a middle ground analysis, but to remain consistent to an inconvenient truth. The inconvenient truths we covered in this show are sexualizing children is becoming a fad. Pay attention. Pay attention to what your children, your grandchildren, listen, be nosy in everything they're doing. Find out what people are telling them. Remember when we were kids, in my generation, stranger danger, right? If somebody's doing or saying something they shouldn't be, then hey, you need to tell an adult. Now they're making it all seem like it's normal. No, you don't have to tell an adult. It's just between us. We're giving these pedophiles everything they need. We're convincing people that it's okay. Another inconvenient truth. This government doesn't give a shit about this southern border. If you don't believe it, just pay attention to what was in this $1.7 trillion bill. None of it went to actual border enforcement. It all went to getting migrants Once they come in, it's about putting them in other places. That's where all that money went, not to enforcing. But we did put a lot of money in the spending bill, sending it overseas to protect those borders. And then, of course, the last thing we talk about is Joe Biden. Joe Biden wants to sit there and tell you that it's the Republicans' fault. They're not serious about the border. Well, quite frankly, he's right, but neither is he. And the fact that he's not saying it out loud, that is very disingenuous. So until next time, friends, thank you so much for your service and your patriotism to our country. Thank you so much, man. Without our men and women in uniform, our veteran community, and great Americans like YOU, man, this country would be a very different place. We are the only ones who stand between freedom and chaos. So as always, friends, look, man, we've just stood up About Face Radio. Go to Live 365, type in About Face Radio. It is a veteran first responder. That is all you're going to hear as far as radio shows. We got music going, but you're always going to hear any voice that you hear over is going to be a veteran or first responder. Guys, it is a nonprofit organization. We're trying to stand it up. We're trying to do the right thing and actually give veterans an outlet, because that's what's required, man. At the end of the day, when all of this crazy, we heard Laura talk about it a while ago. She says, hey, man, I need a mental health Monday. Well, you're going to get one this Monday, Lord willing. Creeks don't rise, I'll still be there. But in the meantime, you can always tune in and listen to some of these great commentators as they try to pour in this good stuff for you. But guys, if you love your freedom, thank a veteran. If you love your peace, thank a police officer. If you see a first responder, man, thank them for a job well done. Take care of yourselves, friends. Catch me every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 5 o'clock p.m. Central Standard Time right here or on all of our affiliates across the radio waves. God bless each and every one of you. God bless the United States of America. Take care of yourselves, friends. My name is Philip Blackman, and I'm out of here.